Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
You know, we know of brands that come and go when it comes to the electronics industry. You know, not everyone has staying power, but Jabra isn't one of those brands.
Yeah, some might describe it as pretty low profile, although yeah. I see it, you know, Jabra's managed to hold its own and stay strong over the years.
Well, maybe it's just down to their understanding of how they create their best-in-class sound solutions, but I can imagine that is no easy task.
Yeah, and just to outline, some of you would have seen this brand name around, of course, on wireless headphones
yes.
of one kind or another, particularly the ones that fit inside your ear.
Yeah, great for jogging, great for the gym.
Yeah, and it's a really, really competitive space. You know, you've got everyone who's designing AirPods or earbuds these days.
Sure.
Everything
yeah.
from Apple, Samsung, you name all the big brands. So it takes a lot of hours of research and meticulous engineering that has to go into your product to keep up with that kind of momentum.
Plus, relevance comes to mind when you're trying to stay ahead of this ever-changing market. We have on the line with us this morning, Wayne Lee, Head of Products and Alliance, Jabra Asia Pacific. Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
Hey, morning, Elliot and Nisha. Very well, thank you.
So I suppose you could start us off by telling us a little bit about Jabra. This is a brand that keeps on being thrown around whenever a friend asks another friend, hey, what kind of earbuds should I buy when I go jogging?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, what I'd like to say is that, you know, you mentioned in the morning there, you know, it's a brand that's a bit low profile. But actually, we've actually been around for 150 years, so not many people know that. This is a brand that a company that's actually been around 150 years, at least our parent company. We do come from a Danish heritage, so parent company is called GN, it's Great Northern. And being around 150 years, we were actually one of the first companies that actually connected telegraph lines between China and Europe and the rest of the world. We have a lot of history in the region here that actually comes from that. It's quite an interesting history. And, you know, one of the things that we actually did was when we connected those telegraph lines to actually make messaging a lot easier and clearer was really that we created code that was basically, you know, like a Morse code for Chinese characters. Mm-hmm. So we actually realized that there was about 5,000 Chinese characters there that needed this and that could actually basically do the whole messaging system. That worked out pretty well, and we created that. And, you know, we like to say sometimes that we actually came up with the first sort of stable internet at that time. So it's quite an interesting time for us.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating story, Wayne. Does it also mean that you're one of these really unusual cases that would have been a first mover in the Asian market a long time back?
Yes, so a long time back, we actually, you know, we created obviously that telegraph line. We actually had offices in Xiamen. We were one of the first offices that actually opened up international offices in Xiamen. And if you actually go to the Bund on the Shanghai Telecom Museum there, you can actually see the history of our founder there, a guy called C.F. Tekin, who was actually there. So, yeah, I think we've been around for a while. And, you know, celebrating the 150 years, we also signed agreements into Japan as well. So during that time, and one of the last emperors of Japan was actually one of those that actually helped to bring the communication together as well.
Wayne, I'm curious, and I want to talk a little bit about market share. Where Asia is concerned, or even Southeast Asia, which is your biggest market here?
Well, I guess specifically for Southeast Asia, I think Singapore would probably be our largest market that we have. You know, we have our headquarters here in APAC for this, and it's a good market for us that we have here. And if we talk about, I guess, the sort of growth of the organization over mm-hmm. the last year, you know, we've probably grown over the last 5 years, probably 20 to 25% growth year on year. So that's been great. And, you know, we basically have two parts of the organization here in Jabra. One is for enterprise and consumer products. So I know most of the brand is actually found in the consumer space.
Yeah.
But we actually do quite a lot in the enterprise market as well, working with a lot of the unified collaboration people out there as well.
So, Wayne, I had a couple of questions that I'm going to kind of roll into one. One of them is, your title is Head of Products and Alliance. Maybe I've been living under a stone, but I've never seen a reference to products and alliance. So products make sense, but maybe you could explain the alliance bit. And on the products here in Singapore, what would you say you're most famous for?
Okay, so, I mean, products, it's all about the products that come into the market. So we look after here in Singapore, the APAC market, and that includes, you know, all the way from Australia, New Zealand, and Japan, Southeast Asia, China, India, and Korea. So it's a large market to cover, but basically it's making sure that we have the right product in the market here. And then on the alliances side, it is really about working with our larger enterprise alliances. So, I mean, these are people like Microsoft and Cisco and things like that that we actually really need to work with, because we are, what I would say, an endpoint to their systems, especially in the enterprise market. So the other thing I think you mentioned around, you know, I guess what we're famous for here in the market, if we look at our consumer market, then it is, I guess it is really around the sort of true wireless. It's what we call true wireless. It's a true wireless market. So as you mentioned, I think at the start, around the sort of headsets and the earbuds that actually come into the ear. That's actually a market in itself. It's called true wireless. And here in Singapore, we probably have about a 10 to 12% market share of the true wireless market.
Oh, and on that note, with regard to the true wireless market, there are a lot of competitors now, everyone producing cheaper Bluetooth wireless earphones in that sense. So with regard to your price point as well, because I do use your products, how do you stay relevant and stay ahead of the rest of the game?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because I think as manufacturing costs come down, things get a lot cheaper. I think, you know, we celebrate really our engineering prowess from Copenhagen. We have a really sort of great R&D team that's actually based out of Copenhagen and also in China as well. And we do a lot of R&D. We spend a lot of money back into R&D. So what we actually do is, within the R&D focus, you know, we actually have, you know, physical rooms where we can actually try out a number of the products in real-life environments.
Okay.
So, and the way we do that is, you know, we'll have cars in place, we'll have what we call acoustic rooms that actually test the echo and the sound and the connectivity for the products. And then, you know, being a company that actually also has what we call GN Hearing in the group, which is working on, you know, medical hearing aids, we're actually taking a lot of that technology back into the product. So around the miniaturization of the products, how it actually fits together, the build and the quality and the design. So a lot of work goes back into that whole process. So we like to kind of stay relevant on that side of things. And then we're always looking towards the future as well. Mm-hmm. So what are the sort of new technologies that are coming in? What can we actually do with the products going forward as well? And how can we make them more personalized for the user?
Well, this is fascinating. And you're talking about, you know, what can you do for the future? What would you say is the big technology you're on the lookout for?
I think there's a lot of things that we're actually looking at right now. I think one of the things we're talking about now is, how do we actually personalize these headsets for you and really make them more adapt to your own preference and your styles as well? So, you know, we're going to be releasing sort of like an application and, you know, taking back from our sort of GN Hearing components and our technology there. Really that it does a hearing test, that it detects your own sound profile, so what you like to actually hear and what you actually prefer in your music or your audio, and then basically be able to, you know, change the settings and everything else to make sure that you get the best audio for yourself. So it's a more personalized way to actually experience the music.
Wayne, to wrap things up, is a bit of a curious question of my own. I noticed that Jabra, to find Jabra products in Singapore, you go to, you know, different electrical shops. You don't actually have your own physical brick and mortar type of shop. Is there a reason why you don't do that?
Yeah, I think that's a specific sort of strategy that we've taken. We want to work with our partners, right? So we want to work with the partners. We want to make sure that they're relevant. I think, you know, in this time of the COVID-19, I mean, the retail sector, we'll have to see how that holds up. But I think a lot of it is really supporting the partners, the region, and making sure that they we go to market with them. They're relevant in the process. Because we have both sides of the business in terms of sort of an enterprise and consumer side of the business as well, we also have to invest a little bit more into the enterprise side, because it is a big market for us as well. And one of the things there is, you know, there's a whole sort of work from home scenario where people want to kind of, you know, work from home or new ways of working that we talk about. Because now, you know, the COVID-19, you know, we're monitoring this extremely closely. We obviously have our own colleagues in China that are affected. The supply chains could potentially be affected and all this kind of thing that we're looking at. So I think we've done a lot of research in this component around, you know, working from home. We've actually told all our staff in China to basically stay at home right now and actually use the technology to be able to work from home. So we have to do a lot of phone calls or video conferencing, and we basically need to use our own product and make sure that that's relevant. You know, as we see more of these type of things happening, it wasn't just because of the COVID-19. I think it's just more relevant now. But we've actually been seeing a big shift in momentum around this whole sort of work from home. And there's obviously a lot of this sort of internet purchases that are going on as well.
We've been speaking with Wayne Lee, Head of Products and Alliance, Jabra Asia Pacific. Wayne, thanks a lot for your time. Have a great week ahead.
No problem. Thanks very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.